Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
...of God, and I'm talking today about weaponizing our worship. The Bible teaches us that if we will take the weapons of God, we can do what? We can quench the fiery darts of the devil. When you think about darts, don't think about those little things they got in a bar where you're trying to hit the bullseye. He's talking about real weapons, javelins, that's being thrown against you by the devil. But he said, if you will take the weapons of God, he said, you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. The devil and his imps are coming against you every day. But praise God, you can be victorious every day. You can put him under your heel because God has equipped you to do that. And the Bible does not say in vain, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may be seated. So I was talking about the fiery darts of the devil, talking about the weapons of the devil. We talked about the spirit of coveting. That means you want what somebody else has got because you want their life. That's a sin. God made you exactly as he wants you to be. And your role is to become the best you that you can possibly be. So we talked about that last week, so I don't want to talk about that again. I want to talk about the second greatest dart that I believe there is against people, and that's fear. People just live in fear. The government even gives us a measuring tool now where people can tell you how fearful they are. They call it the misery index. They say the misery index is higher in the United States of America than it's ever been. That means there's more fear. More fear. I got a sermon I want to preach. It's a great sermon, but I'm only preaching once a week now. I used to preach 7 times a week, and then when I became a pastor, it came down to 4 or 5 times. I'm down to 1, so I'm getting sermons that I'll never preach. And I got one right now I'm wanting to preach. It just don't fit into this series. But it's called Living in the Bubble, and there is a way to live in the bubble. It's an amazing sermon. If you will come to my office, we'll just share it with you personally. But praise God, I don't care how much fear is in this world, I don't have to succumb to that. God has given me power. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit there is a little S. That means it's not from God, it's from the devil. The spirit of fear. There is a spirit, a demon spirit of fear. But God didn't give us that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You know, I've always thought this was a unique verse. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it talks about the people that are going to be in the lake of fire. And I think you know some of those people. The idolaters are going to be there. The liars are all going to be there. The sorcerers are going to be there. The whoremongers are going to be there. The murderers are going to be there. The abominable are going to be there. I understand that. But it starts out this way, the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire. It lists fearfulness as one of the sins. In fact, it's the first thing it lists in this whole category of people that will be in the lake of fire. And so we understand that the spirit of fear is a real sin. But now listen to this verse, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The spirit of fear, or the beginning of wisdom. How do you reconcile these two scriptures? You know, that is the key to understanding, is rightly dividing the Word of God. Reconciling the Word of God, I call that. We have a little problem with that sometimes because the translation from the Hebrew in the Old Testament to English or the Greek in the New Testament to English is not always as good as it should be. So there are two different words that we call fear, and we just call them fear, but they are distinguished from the Hebrew to the English and from the Greek to the English. And the word fear is translated many times as Jireh. Jireh. What does that mean? That's not what we think it means at all. But it's the word fear that is used many times. What it means is reverence, respect, and worship. So when he talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that's the word he's talking about. When he's talking about the word of fear, he's talking about terror. Two different concepts at all. That you're afraid of God. There's a clean fear and there is an unclean fear. There's a fear that makes us see God as an enemy and makes us want to flee from Him. I used to have an employee that worked for me, and her mother wanted to have dinner with her. She was not a church-going woman. She was not a godly woman. She was not a Christian woman. And so she would say to her daughter, she'd say, "Let's go to lunch." And she'd say, "Come by the office and pick me up." She said, "No, I'm not coming on that parking lot of that church." She said, "Meet me at Jordan Ford." So she wanted to go to dinner with her mother. She had to drive over to Jordan Ford because her mother was that afraid of coming to church. I knew the woman 20 or 30 years. She never darkened the door of the church. She died without ever coming to church. She was afraid of the church building. That's not as rare as you think. It's the reason why a lot of people don't come, is they're afraid. They're afraid of God. They're afraid of church. They're even afraid of you when they find out you're a Christian. I remember we used to have this bottle of water, and it said Living Way on it. And I saw people that wouldn't drink that water because they thought we'd put something in that water. They were afraid of it. They're afraid of God. They're afraid of the church. They're afraid of you. The devil gives them a spirit of fear. And what is that? That makes them want to get as far away from God, far away from God's people, as far away from God's house as they possibly can. You see, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible said once they had sinned, the Bible said they fled from the presence of the Lord. Fear, that kind of fear, sinful fear, the spirit of fear, will make you flee from the presence of God. Some people are like that by doctors. I know people that are scared of doctors. They won't go around doctors. We used to have a doctor here in the church. I used to call him every day. "Doc, what do you think about this? Can you come by the house?" Dr. Bird, he was a great guy. He moved to Costa Rica. But I loved having my own personal doctor. It was just great. I'm not afraid of hospitals. I'm not afraid of doctors. And most of all, I'm not afraid of God. Because I have found Him to be a friend. I like the verse I used earlier, that Jesus Christ is the kindness of God. He is a kind God, a loving God. But that's different with some people. They have fear, like Adam and Eve, and they want to flee from the presence of God. There's a fear that makes you see God as an enemy. But there's another fear, the Hebrew word, that makes you see God as your friend. That's the reason why we sing, "I am the friend of God. I am a friend of God." A protector, we see Him as a protector, and it makes us want to draw near to Him. Instead of being repelled or fleeing, we're afraid of God in this sense. That happened to Jacob. Remember, Jacob was fleeing from Esau, his brother, and he had a right because he kept cheating Esau. And Esau wasn't the best guy in the world. He kept cheating him, and he had to run from him. He was scared for his life. He went to sleep on the mountain. But because he was a man after God's own heart, God let his ladder down, and the Bible said the angels descended and ascended all night long. But listen to what Jacob said. It's kind of neat what he said. Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And then the Bible said, Jacob was afraid. And this is what he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob was afraid, but it wasn't the spirit of fear. It was that godly fear. He said, "Now here I am running for my life, and God is here." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I feel every day. No matter what I'm going through, I feel like God's going to set His ladder down and send His angels to descend down to me and ascend up to heaven with my reports and what I need. And so Jacob said about this place, he said, "It's a dreadful place. It's a fearful place." What he meant was, he said, "It's just so massive. It's so powerful. It's so supernatural." I don't want to go to a church where I can't feel that same way about it. I believe anything can happen in this building. I believe if somebody fell out dead, God could raise him from the dead. I believe God can heal your blind eyes. I believe God can forgive your greatest sin. This is a dreadful place. This is an awesome place. I look at the power of God and say it's fearful because when I look at the power of God compared to my weakness, yes, that's fearful in that way, but it does not want to make me run from God. It makes me want to run to God. God is my protector. He is my shield in every situation. And so Jacob said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call this place Bethel. And he said, I'm going to return to this place. Every time I get in trouble, I'm going to return to this place. And here I am going to worship God. There is a fear of God that does not repel you from God, but it draws you near. And it is a fear of God that makes you want to worship the Lord with all of your heart. Until you have begun to realize how great God is, you will not be able to worship God in the ability that He wants you to. But when you get to that place where you're awestricken by the goodness of God and the power of God, it makes you want to worship Him. The mighty God and the little me are reconciled by the love of God. It makes me want to worship Him in a way that I am not ashamed. Everybody fears God, even the atheist. In fact, the fear of God is what makes an atheist. They hope there is no God. They're so afraid of Him, they're just hoping there is no God. Everybody fears God, but their fear makes them flee. But my fear makes me worship. The Bible teaches in John 12, about many people that heard Jesus Christ teach, and they saw His miracles, and they saw what He did, and they wanted to follow Jesus Christ. But the Bible said many of the leaders believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. You know, people hear truth. When somebody tells you about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how many people, by a show of hands, have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this building? It's called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That word ghost in itself kind of makes it fearful. Except, you know, my favorite comic book when I was a kid was Archie and Casper the Friendly Ghost. I loved Casper the Friendly Ghost. And then I translated from Casper the Friendly Ghost to the Friendly Holy Ghost. And I love the Holy Ghost. But you know, people are, and this is so strange to me. You can go to the movies today that project every kind of monster and problem, and people just sit there and they're not afraid. But you speak in tongues and they are totally destroyed. It just caused them to be so afraid. They're just so afraid because of the things of God. And the devil wants it that way. But it makes me draw closer to Almighty God. And so atheists are atheists because they fear God. And they say, we fear Him so much that in our little mind, we're going to program it to say He doesn't exist. That's what you do with things that you're afraid of. You just say, they don't exist. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go over and visit my friend Larry Jones, about two or three miles over there. And Mama would say, Steve, get home before dark. It's out in the country. I could run over there sometimes, ride my bicycle over there. She said, get home before dark. And so I'd try to make it home before dark. But one time, it was after dark, and I called Mama. I said, Mama, I was about 7, 8 years old. I said, Mama, it got dark. Can you come pick me up? Mama wanted to teach me a lesson. She said, no, I can't. You're going to have to run home, walk home by yourself. I said, no, Mom, I can't do that. You don't understand. There was a place there, a little abandoned church that had a cemetery behind it. I had to go right by that cemetery. And I never will forget going up that little hill and going by that church and that cemetery set behind it. And then I remember that ghost that came out of that cemetery. It came as a big old ghost. It got behind me. And it started chasing me, and I started running. And we had a neighbor. His name was John Krantz. John was an old, old man. He lived in an old shacky house. He lived by himself. And every night it was warm enough, he'd sit out in his yard in his chair and he'd play a violin. And I had to go by his house. So I got a ghost chasing me. And it's not just visual. Now I've got a soundtrack. I've got the violin going. I mean, it's a made-for-TV movie. And I'm running as hard as I can. Oh, I never will forget. I finally got in that house, and I leaned up the door, and I was going, Mom said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I felt safe because I was in my mama's house. It was that bad fear was dispelled. You know, Jesus said this, and you use it a lot in funerals, but I just saw it in a different way this week. Jesus said, you believe in God. Now, when you believe in God, and you have no relationship with him, and all you know is some stories you've heard some preacher preach from the Old Testament about the earth swallowing up people and God killing people, and somebody says, you believe in God? Not if I don't have to. You're afraid of God. But Jesus took care of that in John 14:1. He said, you believe in God? Yes. Believe also in me. Jesus Christ smooths out all the bumps. Jesus Christ dispels all the fears. Jesus Christ said, come boldly unto me with all of your sins and your transgressions and failures. Come to me, because I am the dispeller of all fear. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're living for the devil, and if you don't love God and you don't serve God, you ought to be afraid, just like I was when that ghost was chasing me by Newton Chapel Church. You ought to be afraid. But if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have nothing to fear and nothing to dread, because he said, if you fall, I'll pick you up. If you sin, you can come boldly to the throne of grace, no matter what your problem is. And so I'm telling you that when you get this, this is the greatest motivation to praise and worship, because you look around a world that's got a high misery index. You look at a world that is afraid, and there's a lot to be afraid of. Choose your poison. Do you want to be afraid of Iran? Do you want to be afraid of China? Do you want to be afraid of Russia? 7 million people have died from COVID. Do you want to be afraid? Just choose your fear, whatever it is. Or you can say, let me tell you what happened to me. I used to be fearful, but I found that Jesus Christ is the common denominator between us and God. So Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There is a fear that will make you want to flee the house of God. It will make you want to flee the Bible. It will make you want to flee anything. But there's another fear that says, I want to go home with you. I want to go to your house. Jesus said, come and go with me to my Father's house. And friend, when you get that kind of revelation that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, when you get the revelation that the Apostle Paul said, it will weaponize your worship, praise God, and you'll say, I fear nothing, I have no dread, come what may, God is my source, God is my strength, God is my home. In him I live and move and have my being. And so in the midst of this, in the greatest attack, the biggest ghost, the worst thing, the doctor's bad report, the banker's bad report, it doesn't matter what. You said, I will not fear, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll worship the Lord, and I begin to praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been through everything that you can think of, but I've worshiped my way through every one of them.